riffing on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long tongue lie.
In Waukesha on the Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits and all points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history, going right back to the front lines of history in the making. Well, I'll tell you what. Donald Trump was in Waukesha Friday afternoon. Tim Michaels. So he was. And what he did was, when he was there, he did a number of extraordinary things, and I'm going to go over them. They had a big impact on the gubernatorial race. Here's a couple of them. He was endorsing Michaels. But he not only endorsed Michaels, he attacked Clayfish. Here's what Donald Trump said. He said, Clayfish does not have what it takes to be governor. Now, he happens to be correct. He goes on and he says, she is the hand-picked candidate of the failed establishment. This is what's fanning the fight between the establishment, they call them swamp creatures, which is fairly accurate. That's the fight between Gates, for instance, they're both swamp creatures, and Kevin McCarthy, for instance, and the attacks by Trump on Voss. So Trump says about Clayfish, for Pete's sake. She does not have what it takes. She's the handpicked candidate of the failed establishment. Then he went on and said this. Clayfish complains about lobbyists, but her husband is one of the biggest lobbyists in Madison, referring to Joel Clayfish. Now, I'm going to throw in a little firsthand note here. Joel Clayfish does a show on this station on Thursday evenings in which he talks about hunting and fishing and cooking and how exciting it is in Waukesha. Okay, fair enough. This last Thursday night, when he left, apparently he locked the computer room at this station. That computer room is never locked. He never locked it before, neither did anybody else. There's no key at the station. So Friday morning when the producer came in, couldn't get in, put my show on. That's why you heard a rerun on Friday. Because the computer room was locked for the first time and there's no key. That was a Bush League play. Let me tell you something. The Friday before a Tuesday election is the start of the surge of people making up their minds. The 96 hours before an election when people make up their minds who haven't already voted. So our whole discussion about the gubernatorial race, because let me be blunt. This show, Matt Flynn Direct, is the bluntest, most history-based, and most frankly, technically detailed attack on politics that there is in this state in any radio station. So what was accomplished by that was that now we're doing it on Monday, day before the election, when a lot of people made up their minds over the weekend. It, you know, it's a trivial thing in a way. It's a Bush League thing. My concern is that if Clayfish ever got in, Rebecca Clayfish as governor, you'd have 4 years of kind of Bush League type of tricks. She's the one, by the way. Remember that a couple of months ago? She's up somewhere, didn't know it was being taped, and she said, the Democrats do dirty tricks. And then she falsely accused the Democrats of what's called ballot harvesting. Democrats do not do that. What Democrats will do is have things, well, we had drop boxes, or we had clerks in Madison go to a park and they would take custody of ballots, which they can do. She called that ballot harvesting. And then she said, and I'm going to do what they do, and then I'll just shower with a metal brush afterwards. Now, that's, first of all, a very weird thing to say, I mean, frankly. But secondly, that is what you can expect for four more years. And that's why you had a rerun on Friday instead of a hard-hitting analysis of the gubernatorial race. Well, we're gonna have a hard-hitting one right now. Let me tell you something. The other thing that Trump did was he attacked Robin Voss. He attacked Robin Voss. I mean, Robin Voss, for Pete's sake. Robin Voss is his own personal swamp creature. Robin Voss is a guy who goes, he called him a rhino, Republican in name only, called Robin Voss a rhino. This rhino Voss is the guy that hired Gableman. He hired Gableman to do an investigation, a fake investigation, paid over $1 million already, and is paying $250,000 of taxpayer money for Gableman's misconduct sanctions in the litigation for insulting the judge, saying the judge is a woman with a beard. You know, I don't know a lawyer in my whole career who would say something like that. And this idiot, we're paying his legal fees to defend him now. How does that make you feel? It doesn't make me feel very good at all. And then Voss, for his pains, gets attacked as a rhino. What's even worse, this is great. This is just terrific. What's even worse is that Voss, that is being opposed in a primary guy named Adam Steen. Now, Adam Steen, I don't know, never met him, don't know much about him, but he's far to the right of Voss, and he's a Trump acolyte. He's nothing more than a Trump, sucking up to Trump. That's all he does. Terrible. He's running against Voss from the right. He's saying what? It's not enough to spend over $1 million on a guy like Gableman who said, I don't even know anything about elections, so I'm going to go to the New Berlin Public Library and a public computer, for Pete's sake, and do a little research. And by the way, I'm going to get $11,000 a month. And oh, by the way, now it's over $1 million. And I called the judge a woman in a beard and insulted a female lawyer on the other side of the case and said the judge might try to, you know, get her into his chambers. Who does this kind of stuff? There's a lot of judges say, you're off this case, Jack. Except he's the defendant, so, or his lawyers are off the case if they don't discipline the guy. By the way, we're going to go to the lines. Looks like we have Gary of Sussex, and I want to make a disclosure, and Connor is working with me on this. On my end, not on Connor's end, you can hear me over the line, but I cannot hear any sound, and I cannot see Connor. So what Connor is going to do is, when he answers the phone, you tell him your comment, or you tell him your question, and he will text it to me, and then I will respond and acknowledge you. Thank you for putting up with this. This will be corrected today. So let me get back, though. Let me get back to Trump and Waukesha. So he comes in on a revenge tour of his own. He attacks Clayfish, and Clayfish sucked up to him massively, including turning on Voss herself. Voss herself. These Republicans know instinctively that somehow they're in trouble if they're seen as establishment swamp creatures, even though they are establishment swamp creatures. And so they stab other establishment swamp creatures who backed them. So Clayfish stabs Voss, and Trump attacks both of them. And he has Adam Steen up there. Now, Adam Steen is a guy, you know, they stick this guy up. What? They stick him up to give a speech. I'm sure he never been in a crowd that big. And it was a small crowd by Trump standards. But Steen's probably used to talking to three or four people at a time. In any event, they all blast the Republican Party. And here is another unbelievable thing. I mean, this really defies belief, quite frankly. Gableman was there, and he said the prayer. What? I mean, Gableman, so who's he to say a prayer? Who is he? Where'd this guy come from? Says a prayer. And then he endorses Adam Steen against Voss, who's paid over $1 million for Gableman's fraudulent investigation into securities fraud, where he found none, but says that the election should be overturned anyway. How bad is that? I mean, Voss is being stabbed multiple times. He's stabbed by Clayfish. He's stabbed by Trump. He's stabbed by Gableman, his guy, whom he paid. He hired him. He not only hired him, Gableman then brought a suit to throw the mayor of Green Bay and Madison in jail by the way, a taxpayer expense. Ross paid it. When he's asked what Gableman is doing, he says, I don't know. Ask Gableman. He asks Gableman. He says, ask Ross. Turns out he's not doing anything. Finally, after he was in the New Berlin Public Library for a while, what he does, he goes, I don't know anything about elections, so I'm on this public computer. That's great. The state stuff. Go around the state. Can't find anything. And yet he still shows up. He's supposed to be an independent investigator, and he's at a Trump rally endorsing the primary opponent of Voss, the illegitimate Republican speaker in a gerrymandered legislature, who's paid over $1 million to support Gableman. And Republican judges in this state are permitting this. This is a travesty. This is wrong. This is dead wrong. It's very, very wrong. Very, very wrong. Very, very wrong. I'll tell you what. Go on YouTube and take a look at some of the stuff that these characters were saying out in Waukesha. Some of these characters. I mean, you know, for the former president to come in and say that Rebecca Clayfish, and by the way, a poll came out over the weekend, and she and Michaels are in a dead heat. They're within margin of error. Within margin of error. So it really matters what happens in the next day or so, even. And by the way, Trump's also the guy that canceled his rally in Milwaukee on August 20, because he wouldn't have had anybody there, but he would have had demonstrators. There were 5,000 tickets. It was a small rally for him. $39 a piece, except it was $3,900 in the so-called presidential section. $3,900. And this clown is up there, Trump, saying Clayfish does not have what it takes. She's the handpicked candidate for the failed establishment. She complains about lobbying, but her husband is one of the biggest lobbyists in Madison. Speaking of Joel Clayfish, whom I had my own unpleasant experience with Thursday night, apparently. So look, all of this is true. She should not be governor. The problem is, a lot of it's true of Michaels. He shouldn't be governor either. All right, now you've heard it on the governor race. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time.
Metflin Director, lines are open, 844-967-2789. Gary of Sussex just called in. Connor, thank you for texting me what he said, since I am still working on issues on my end on the sound, but you can hear me. And Gary called in to say that he has changed his mind about who, which Republican he's going to vote for, although he's going to vote for one of the Republican candidates. But he asks, quote, why are you spending time criticizing Republicans like Rebecca Clayfish when you should be rallying your largely left listener base to vote for Evers? Well, Gary, thanks for your comment. You're a principal conservative. I always enjoy it when you call in. But I will say this. I don't know this that this show has a largely left listener base. It has a large listener base. And there are a lot of people on the left, but there are also a lot of mainstream Democrats. There are a lot of moderates, and there's some Republicans, Gary, like yourself. And so this is not a question of personally attacking anybody, but this is just saying the truth. Tim Michaels, for instance, in an appearance the other day, said for the first time that there was, quote, certainly fraud in the 2020 election. Certainly fraud. That disqualifies him, in my view, from being a nominee, simply because there was no fraud. He knows there's no fraud. And up until now, one of the things he'd been doing was basically giving the impression of siding with the Republicans in a lot of things, but being a little more moderate and reasonable. He has been endorsed, for instance, by Tommy Thompson, who's a very actually effective governor, and he was elected four times. So you have that. I mean, in his favor. But when he comes around and says there was fraud and he knows there was no fraud, that's toxic. That's an attack on our democracy. And even though he knows it's false, people listening to it are not necessarily going to know it's false. And he's contributing to the destruction of our democracy. On the other hand, Rebecca Clayfish has all along said there was fraud, too. Made no bones about it. That's false, too. Gableman was at the Michaels rally. Gableman's the guy who sucked up over $1 million. I'm tired of this guy. I'm real tired of him. And, you know, Rebecca Clayfish is endorsed by Pence. I mean, here's the guy that cut from the gallows, you know, hang Mike Pence, and he's, who's he? He's coming endorsing folks. He should run for his life. You know, I mean, I'm not kidding. This time tomorrow, reckon where I'll be, down in some lonesome valley, swinging from a white oak tree. That's Pence. That's Pence. And he's endorsing what? Rebecca Clayfish? And Rebecca Clayfish, you know, is described by a former president as not having what it takes to be governor. You know, I agree. I agree. Rebecca Clayfish, and you want my feeling on this thing, Gary? I'm going to give you my feeling on this thing. And that's why I appreciate principled conservatives calling in. Rebecca Clayfish reminds me of Kristi Noem, Kim Reynolds, and Carrie Lake down in Arizona. Four very attractive women. They stand there reciting dogma with shiny eyes. And then like rockets, they put their arms around each other and start kick dancing going, where are the girls from Foxconn High? We don't smoke and we don't drink. We're talking Republicans here. We're talking governor here for the love of Pete. For the love of Pete. This is wrong. She should not be governor. And Michael shouldn't be governor. Evers does not have a primary opponent. Evers does not have a primary opponent. Okay, thanks for calling. It looks like Gina Beauclair is in. Gene, you'll have to let, you know, you may not have heard before, but the sound on my end is down, not on the studio's end. So you'll have to give your comments to Connor. And then Connor will... Connor will text them to me and I'll comment. Thank you for your patience today. And we will be back in the swing of my being able to hear things tomorrow. Being able to hear things tomorrow. Okay, I want to talk about Alex Jones quickly. Now, he is a real bad guy, a real piece of work. He's the one that mocked the grieving parents of the Sandy Hook massacre in Connecticut, where they all lost their little ones in the first grade back in 2012. And he said it was a scam and they were doing it to get money and all this. They sued him. He lost. A jury just came in. The other day, they gave him $4 million in compensatory damage. They gave him 45.2 punies, punitive damages. The total hit on him is now $49.2 million. And that lying skunk, just sat there, complained. But now he's claiming he's going to declare bankruptcy. Well, let me tell you a little something about bankruptcy, because Alex Jones is going to have a little learning to do. Bankruptcy has an exception for fraud. And that means you can't discharge your debts if you committed a fraud. In the 19th century in Europe, like in merry old England, if you read Dickens, the novels, if you owed money and couldn't pay it, they threw you in jail. Then they put your wife and your kids in with you until you could pay it. Well, you couldn't work in jail. So you never paid it, and you sat in jail. Can you believe that? So they got rid of it, and they said, we're going to have bankruptcy. The thing about bankruptcy is two things. One, you can only declare it once every 7 years, so you can't be doing it every year. Secondly, you can't commit fraud when you do it. It's a criminal offense if you lie or do something fraudulent. And third, if you committed a fraud that's the subject of the liability, that can be not dischargeable in bankruptcy. So if the lawyers for the Sandy Hook parents are good, and I'm sure they are, the lawyers from the for the Sandy Hook people, they're going to say what he said was a lie. He knew it was a lie. It was fraudulent. Don't let him declare bankruptcy. Then you know what you do? Then you garnish everything he ever gets, his wages, any dividends he gets from stocks, or you seize any stocks that he has, and you relentlessly pursue him. You pursue him. And that's what they got to do with Alex Jones. Okay, a couple of you have called in. I'm going to start responding. Then we're going to go to a break and respond some more. And thank you for your courtesies. Mark from the SAC called in. He wanted to add that if there was fraud, Democrats would be in control of both chambers of Congress. that the only provable fraud that occurred were people voting for Trump twice. Mark from the SAC, thanks a lot for that good comment. What Mike's saying is, not only was there no fraud in the election, but if there had been, presumably we would have done better than 50-50. But also, he's true. The kinds of little pieces of fraud they found, let me tell you what they were. There, and these were Trump voters who had two addresses, like they had a country cabin up north, and they'd vote in both places. Those are Trump voters. There's one instance of Democratic fraud that I've heard of, and that was a woman lived with her mom. Her mom was elderly. They got a ballot, and her mom died before the ballot was filled out, but she knew how her mom was going to fill it out, so she filled it out and mailed it in, and you can't do that. That is fraudulent. I get it. That is fraudulent, but that said, that doesn't overturn the election. And the two or three Trump people who lied about voting in two places, that doesn't do it either. Mark from the SAC is correct. What happened was there was not fraud that would have changed the election. Gableman lied and said it was. And now Clayfish and Michaels are lying, saying it is. And so is Rampton. We're going to a break. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Connor will get me your comments, and I will respond back after the break. And I know this is Glenn. As the snow Welcome back flies. To Matt Flynn Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. On a cold and gray Chicago, you know, there's a development, a very quiet development, that happened in the last several days that you may have even overlooked. Maybe the most momentous development in this whole drama surrounding Trump. It was revealed at the end of last week that Trump's legal team is in contact with and discussions with the Department of Justice. Now, let me tell you why that's momentous. And I'm going to tell you from personal experience, having practiced law a long time. When somebody thinks they're going to be criminally charged, and I'm not talking about, you know, the average kind of crime, but I'm talking about a white-collar crime or a very prominent individual with a very serious charge pending, either because they're targets or subjects of investigation. And in this case, Trump clearly is. It's very common for a good lawyer on the defense to contact the prosecutor and say, can we talk? The prosecutor never contacts them. The prosecutor never contacts them. They contact the prosecutor. Now, sometimes their intent is to go something like, well, you know, try to get information. What is it you're thinking of? What are you going to do? But frequently is to negotiate. And the prosecutor may say, look, I have your guy in several felonies, but I'll let him plead to one felony. And you say, no, I can't tolerate that, but he'll do a misdemeanor. And the other will say, no. In this case, I mean, this would be historically amazing. I mean, it's possible they could say, well, Trump will agree not to run for president in 2024. If you agree not to prosecute him. I'm sure they haven't said that yet. I doubt that they would say that, but these are the kind of discussions that go on. So why is it momentous that these discussions are occurring? The reason it's momentous is that Trump's legal team, who presumably are among the best lawyers, well, a lot of good law firms, frankly, would not want him as a client, wouldn't take him because he doesn't pay. He stiffs them. He's notorious for being a deadbeat. But presumably this time, either he paid in advance or some people guaranteed it, and he is going to get good counsel. What that means is his people are worried. And unless you're calling the prosecutors just recreationally to try to get some info, which you're not going to get, then they may have had discussions, or they may have discussions shortly. And if that happens, here you're talking about a guy who's thinking he's running for president. I'm going to go to the lines. We have some word on a last call. And those of you, by the way, who try to call in, you may not have heard before, but I'm having a hearing, a sound issue on my side, not on Connor's side, not on the station side. So I can't hear you, So you are going to give your comments to Connor, my producer, and he's texting them to me. So Jean of Eau Claire called, and she commented on attack ads that were airing in her part of the state. She's from Eau Claire. That painted both Tony Evers and Tim Michaels in a negative light. And what are my opinion? That's very interesting. The Clayfish campaign, and this is quite sneaky, and this is Scott Walker's behind this. If you want 4 more years of Scott Walker, which God forbid I do not, and that's what you're going to get with Rebecca Clayfish. They're trying to lump Michaels and Evers together, and they attack them both on entirely different things, but just stick their names in the same ad. That ad was paid for by people behind Clayfish. And that is the kind of sneaky stuff that you will see the next 4 years. The fact is that Clayfish does not have what it takes to be governor. She doesn't have the gravitas. She's never run anything. She ran for lieutenant governor, and Walker didn't want her. It was a multi-party race back in 2010. And there were so many people that she got enough votes to sneak in as lieutenant governor. Lieutenant governor then recedes into the background. She didn't have to do anything in the general election. She did nothing as lieutenant governor, not a single thing. Then they lost, and now she's springing back as what? A candidate to do what? To run a government that has a well over 70-some-odd billion-dollar biennial budget? Scott Walker decimated the University of Wisconsin. Rebecca Clayfish will polish it off. It'll be one of the worst universities in the country. They simply starve it of money. The Republican Party is so anti-intellectual, and they're so opposed, really, to progress. They don't understand the gem we have, that the University of Wisconsin, the boundaries of the University of Wisconsin, are the boundaries of the state. It's the Wisconsin idea. It's fighting Bob La Follette. Fighting Bob La Follette was behind this. And Abraham Lincoln was the one who put aside land grant money for public universities so that people, kids coming out of high school in the Midwest could compete with kids from out east where they had all these private colleges. Does anybody remember this? Clayfish would stick a knife in it. Clayfish would stick a knife in it. And it'll be Walker 2.0, and he will control her. He will control her, and her husband, Joel Clayfish, is the big lobbyist over there. You want that team running this state? You want that team running this state? I do not want that team running this state. So by trying to lump Michaels and Evers together, they have nothing in common at all. That's this sneaky tactic. Then we got a call from Joe from Madison. She says, Matt, what is your opinion on asking Republicans to switch to Evers specifically because of what he's done for small businesses? Joe, I think that's a terrific argument. That's a terrific argument. I personally think that a lot of Republicans, especially in Waukesha, Washington, Ozaukee, Walworth, Racine, and that area, are going to vote Democratic for governor for a variety of reasons. What Tony Evers has done for small business has been basically, especially during COVID, to sustain them. Much more so than any Republican would have done. Secondly, a lot of people do not like these attacks on our personal freedoms. You know, you talk about Roe v. Wade, but it goes beyond that. The Ninth Amendment, there is an amendment to the Constitution, by the way. You've heard of the first 10 amendments, the Bill of Rights. The ninth one says that even if a right is not enumerated in the Constitution, it still resides with the people. And by, for instance, overturning Roe v. Wade, what they're saying is that in some states don't even have a life of the mother exception. A woman not only can't control her own body, she can't defend her own life. I have a guy that I know, and I'm friendly with him, who is a Republican. And he came up to me, and, you know, there's a guy who is not necessarily think about a lot of these things in detail. And I don't know if he thought he was using the right words, but he says, you know, I'm beginning to think that the Republicans are trying to push us into communist government. By that he meant, you know, communism is a form of fascism. Fascism preceded communism by a little bit, but not much. Both of them, a cult of the leader, where the ruling class steals money and everybody else has no freedom. And, you know, everybody goes, oh, the Second Amendment? There's no Second Amendment in Russia or China or North Korea. You try to buy a gun in any of those places, you'll be thrown in jail. You'll be thrown in jail. All your freedoms disappear when communism or fascism comes in. It's not funny at all. Absolutely not funny at all. So, Joe, I would say that's a great argument. That's not the only argument. You know, the fact of the matter is that in addition to everything Evers has done for small business, people are getting very uneasy with the idea that our democracy may get stripped away from us. I'll give you an example. You're a Republican out there? Okay. Give you an example. And I don't mean you, Joe. I mean whoever is a Republican out there. In October, they're going to hear a case, and the hand reins on the wall. I think they're going to rule out of North Carolina, which will apply nationally, that if a state legislature does anything on elections, even if it says you don't have a right to vote for president, they'll pick the electors. Not only will a federal court not stop them, but the state Supreme Court and the state attorney general are prohibited from interfering. They're interfering in states' rights. This is a fascist court. This is an illegitimate court. And so, Joe, I would add that to the equation. Bill from Oconomowoc called. Bill, my friend, thank you for calling. Bill is a very principled guy, and he goes, Matt, would you be willing to guest one of the Clayfishes on the show and debate specifically about Rebecca gutting education Foxconn? And you know something, Bill? Absolutely. Positively, I would love it. This station, at least my show, is open to everybody, Republicans and Democrats. I would love to have either of the Clayfishes. I would love to have Rebecca Clayfish. I would love to have Joel Clayfish come on my show. They can call in, or if they want me to schedule a time, I will. It's only worthwhile if she wins tomorrow. And frankly, I don't think she is competent to be governor. And frankly, I am getting very much of the opinion that Michaels is something like a wolf in sheep's clothing, and he would not be a good governor. But if anybody who wins tomorrow wants to come on this show, they are warmly invited. Bill, let them know that. You're out in Oconomowoc. I have relatives in Oconomowoc. You may know the Clayfishes better than I do, but they are warmly invited on this show anytime. Anytime is exciting. Tomorrow, the Senate race, you know, now everybody's dropped out, they think, except Mandela Barnes. Well, there are other people. There's Pete Pekarsky. There's Steve Olicara. Pekarsky, by the way, is the only candidate who has advertised continuously on the station. We're grateful for that. He has a degree in electrical engineering from MIT, of all places. He's an electrical engineer, and he's a guy, if he were on a committee, there'd be nobody that would be more knowledgeable about science if it came to climate change, weapon systems, cryptography, that kind of thing. You know, I haven't endorsed in this race. Yeah, Mandela Barnes is a friend of mine, too. And Mandela is a fine man and a fine senator. And Steve Olicara called into my show, and we had a good discussion with Steve Olicara. But get out there and vote tomorrow. You may think, oh, well, you know, it's not worthwhile. What the heck? Yes, it is worthwhile. People look. They look and they measure relative enthusiasm. Relative enthusiasm. And if a lot more Republicans turn out than Democrats, because our Senate race got stripped of three of the front runners, then people go, oh, the Democrats aren't enthusiastic. Well, we are very enthusiastic. We're very committed to our democracy. And we're not going to stand by and watch Trump election deniers take over the state. And if you think that's not possible, is starting to happen. Starting to happen. We're going to break. Lines are open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Hunger burns. So he starts to roam the streets at night, and he learns how to steal, and he learns how to fight in the ghetto. We'll be right back.
844-967-2789. Another comment, Nick from Lake Mills. And by the way, folks, my callers in, for many of you, I really appreciate your sticking with us today. When we have this sound glitch on my side, it's not on the station side. I'm doing this remotely today, and that's going to get fixed. But Connor's doing a great job passing your comments on to me, so thank you, Connor. Nick from Lake Mills, he just wants us to know he's excited for the upcoming election. He's been noticing more Evers signs versus Trump signs. That's very, very important because Lake Mills in Jefferson County, I had relatives through my wife's side in Lake Mills. My campaigns, I've spent time in Fort Atkinson and Jefferson and part of Watertown that's in Jefferson County and Gray County. But it can go conservative. And if Evers signs are outnumbering Trump signs out in that area, that's a very favorable development. Let me tell you something. You know what I think? I think that when all said and done, yeah, people are partisan and all that, but they want stability. They want peace. They want a stable economy. They want honesty. And they want their vote to count. And that they don't want, for instance, courts telling them that their vote can't count if the legislature overrides it. That's not what our country's all about. And I think all the drama surrounding Trump, at some point, fatigue has set in. Fatigue has set in. You take a look at all those witnesses in the January 6th commission, and the Republicans say they were lying. I don't think any of them were lying, but certainly not all of them were lying. And you have Republicans now, is the Senate candidate for the Republicans in Arizona, saying the insurrectionists were secretly FBI agents. That's so false. That's sort of Alex Jones types. And Alex Jones, just with punitive and compensatory damages, has to pay $49 million to the grieving parents of the Sandy Hook kids. You know, at some point, some decency has to reassert itself. I mean, at some point, you've got to say, look, you know, I'm a conservative or I'm a liberal, whatever it is, but I have standards. There's certain lines I won't cross, and one of them is giving up our democracy. People over 200 years ago fought and died for that, and everybody think, oh, they fought and died for it. Let me tell you something. The Minutemen at Lexington and Concord and the people in the Boston Massacre and Bunker Hill and all that, they had muskets. You'd fire like one round a minute or something. Then you had to put powder in the barrel and ram a ramming rod down it. And it was very, very imprecise. I mean, you shoot and it could go 10 feet either way. And there was no real medicine. There certainly weren't antibiotics. And you got one of those musket balls, you get an infection and die. These guys went out there and they took on the British Army. Now, the British Army was almost at its peak at that point. It peaked in the early 1800s. And these were a bunch of farmers and, you know, blacksmiths and, you know, small shopkeepers. And they said, enough's enough. They went out there and they formed a country. And then Abraham Lincoln, we split in 1861. There was a civil war. So I said, we don't recognize you. Just like this time, something like 19 attorneys general sued to have Wisconsin's results overturned because they didn't like him. Well, they didn't like him in 1861 either. How did that turn out? Well, it didn't turn out so well this time either. So we have always put up with internal drama like that. That's what a democracy is. But you can't just casually throw it all over because of what? Donald Trump, the Republican Party. You may say, I don't like Trump. I don't like Evers or Biden on some issues. You may differ with the national administration on immigration, on a lot of things. Fine. Vote your conscience. Vote Republican. But don't vote for violence and don't vote for stripping people of the right to vote. Do it through our democracy. One little helpful sign, Finland and Sweden, there was just a vote in the Senate to agree the U.S. agrees they can join NATO. It was 95-1. 95-1. Josh Hawley was the only no. He's from Missouri. He's really bad news. He's the guy that gave the fist pump to the insurrectionists as he came in, and then he hid and ran because they're out to kill him. The guy's very strange, by the way, real twink. And Rand Paul, who's even worse, abstained. He just voted present. But 95 senators, including all other Republicans who were voting and all Democrats, voted for it. The Republican Party had been going isolationist. That's what really happened. That's what led up with Trump to Russia thinking they could go in Ukraine in the first place. And that's what has led China to do some of the things they're doing. But the Democrats, and now it looks like the Republicans, are standing up to it. That's very important. The mainstream Republican Party has always been anti-communist. It's always been containing Russia and containing China. I don't know what happened to them under Trump. It's coming back. It's coming back definitely. But also, I'm going to give you a quick Ukraine update. Quick Ukraine update. And they have been magnificent. There's a nuclear reactor. Nuclear reactor over there in Zaporizhia. The Russians are hiding in it. They know that it can't be shelled and it's leaking contamination. On the other side, good news, 4 more grain shipments have left Odessa and the Black Sea ports to go to Africa to relieve starving people. 3 Russian generals have been killed, 3 more, and several more have been fired. The one thing that I seized on, Amnesty International, I've always liked it, but the Ukraine branch of Amnesty International, the head guy resigned. Amnesty International looks like it's starting to side with Russia. And it put out a statement that it's the Ukrainians' fault for putting civilians in areas that the Russians are bombing. In other words, they haven't evacuated people quick enough. That's like saying, well, the Nazis went in to kill people. The Nazis killed several million people in Ukraine, by the way, in the 40s. But it was the fault of the Ukrainians. I can't stand that. Somebody's got to get to Amnesty International and say, let's put some people in there who are decent people, who are decent people. The final thing I want to say on that is there's a discussion right now whether Biden should declare Russia a terror state, like Iran and North Korea. Obviously, they are a terror state. The Senate and the House have voted heavily to declare them a terror state. The holdup is that under the law, if something's a terrorist state, you have to sanction anybody who trades with it. So we would have to sanction Germany and France for buying any natural gas from them, sanction our allies. My solution to that is they are a terrorist state. Oh, and the one other thing they've threatened is if we declare them that they will break off relations with the United States. I think it's a pretty easy response. I say, look, our Senate and House say you're a terrorist state. They're a co-equal branch of government. We're not going to sanction our allies, but we agree with the Senate and the House, but we're not going to put in a formal designation because our allies mean a great deal to us and they are getting together to crush you. Something like that, but address it forthright. As we come to the end of the show, I want to thank all my callers and thank Connor for what he did. You've all gotten me your comments. I've gotten them in writing. I've commented on them. We're going to work today to restore what I can hear. I can't hear any background music. I can't hear voices. I can only speak into the microphone. But it was a great show and great comments and questions that came in. Thank you very much. Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. I'm signing off for today. Carnation.